Thank you, Melody. Thank you, choir. That'll make you shout, won't it, church? That was good stuff. Thank you very much. Well, good morning, church. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Praise the Lord for your presence here today. And I'm honored again to be filling in for Dr. May while he and Delaine are away on vacation. And when I was asked to fill in today several weeks ago or a couple of months ago, I looked at the calendar and obviously filling in here the last Sunday in August. And so August is our first month in a new Sunday school year. So I thought that today I would preach on Sunday school, as any good minister of education should. And I need to warn you. I feel like I need to warn you that when I talk about Sunday school, I get excited. And so that may mean that the sermon goes a little long today. But I'm reminded of a story of a pastor who was known for being especially long-winded. And he told his congregation, he said, "My job is to talk. Your job is to listen. And if you stop listening before I stop talking, just let me know." So I hope today, I do plan to stop talking before you stop listening. But I am a big fan of Sunday school, and I wanted to say that I appreciate Donnie and Cherie making that video. We worked on that for several weeks, and I appreciate our IT guys working on that, putting that together. We're going to put that on our website, and we also have some other teachers and Sunday school leaders that are going to be making some more videos that we'll be showing in our service and also putting those on our website. I'm excited about our Sunday school ministry here at our church and the potential that we have, and looking for God to do big things in our Sunday school. So with that said, let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at a familiar passage. We're going to look at verses 40 through 47. Of course, we know that the book of Acts is the story of the early church, and it was written by Luke, one of the disciples of Jesus, and a lot to learn about how to do church and how to do Sunday school here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you give me the words to say this morning. I claim Isaiah 55:11. As your word goes forth, I pray that it would not return void, but accomplish what pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure that we can all agree that you can always count on the Peanuts comic strip to teach us lessons about life. I recently heard about a Peanuts comic strip that involved Lucy and Linus. Lucy walked into the room and demanded that Linus change the TV channel and threatened Linus with her fist if he didn't comply with her demands. Linus said, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" "These five fingers," said Lucy. "Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is a terrible thing to behold." What channel do you want? Loudon said. What channel do you want? Linus said. Then turning away, Linus looked at his own fingers and said, why can't you guys get organized like that? Linus certainly learned a lesson that day on his encounter with Lucy. And of course, there's a life lesson for all of us as well. And that lesson is about the importance of being united, the importance of being together, the importance of teamwork, having the same purpose and same goal. And that's a principle or concept that we hear a lot about in our society today. We learn about teamwork when we enjoy and play sports. Of course, in life in general, we learn the importance of being united in the family. We learn the importance of how you should work together in things like the military and in the community and in our nation. I think in our nation today, we are very much divided, and we see the consequences of that. But about 20 or 30 years ago, this concept of teamwork made its way into the business community. Now, employees in industry and manufacturing are taught about teamwork and asked to comply with the principle of teamwork. It's a subject. There are many books written about teamwork and working together. I actually saw a commercial on TV the other day. It was a local commercial shown during a football game, and it was two men who were law partners, and they were advertising their law firm, and they were tossing a football back and forth, and their advertising slogan was teamwork makes the dream work. And that's very true. It's a principle that we hear a lot about today, but it's not a new concept. This principle of being united, of working together, of teamwork is actually taught in God's Word. There are over 100 verses in the New Testament alone on this issue of being united. The New Testament church is instructed and commanded to be united and have the same goal. We find words and phrases like being in one mind and one accord, being like-minded, having unity in the faith. The Bible tells the church to be one body. And the term one accord that we see a lot in the New Testament comes from a Greek word that means to be like-minded, having the same focus, having the same goal. And the word appears 12 times in the New Testament. 11 of those times it's used to describe the early church. Here in verse 42, we see the word fellowship. Now, the word fellowship here comes from a Greek word koinonia. Koinonia means to be in partnership with each other. It means to be connected and united. You see, the success and the power and the growth of the early church was mainly due to this principle of being united, having the same goal, the same mind, the same purpose. But I want you to know this morning, Satan knows the importance of this principle to the church. Causing division among God's people is one of his main tools in his toolbox. Satan does this. His three top tools that he likes to use on God's people. He wants to distract us. He wants to discourage us. And he wants to divide us. Jesus said in Mark 3:25, he said, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So Satan understands that, and he wants to get God's people divided because he knows that that will cause the church to have problems and consequences. So as we go through this lesson today on Sunday school, I want us to filter it or do so in the context of this example of the new church and the example of how they were united and together and having the same purpose. So today's lesson, the church in action. The church in action. Notice three things here in this passage. Number one, first of all, notice that Sunday school is about people. Look at verse 40 and 41. Notice what it says. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse or crooked generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them.
Let's take a moment to set the context for this passage or give a little bit of a background to what's happening here. The Bible tells us in the four Gospels that Jesus came into this world. He died on an old rugged cross for your sins, for my sins, sins of the whole world. The Bible says he was buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. Then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came down. We read that here in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit came down, began his earthly ministry, and immediately indwelt these disciples, these followers of Jesus. He took up residence inside of them. The church was founded. Christianity began. But notice, these disciples, these first church members, if you will, they didn't start a new program. They didn't form a committee. They didn't take a vote. They immediately turned their attention to the people that were there. The disciples turned to the people, and Peter, the Apostle Peter, stood up, preached his first sermon, and shared the gospel with those people that were there in their presence. Listen, Sunday school is not just another church program. It's a strategy of the church that is meant to impact and change the lives of people. Every church since the first church in the book of Acts chapter 2 has to deal with this same old question. How do we take care of the people we have, and how do we reach the ones we don't? And my friends, listen to me. Sunday school solves both of those problems on an ongoing, continuing basis. Through the strategy of Sunday school, people's lives are changed. There's an opportunity for spiritual growth. We have great teachers in our Sunday school, adult, youth, and children's level. They all do a great job. They share the word. They teach the word. So there's an opportunity for spiritual growth, which all of us are commanded to do, to grow spiritually and develop our spiritual growth. There's opportunity to grow in relationship with others. And of course, we see in Sunday school that people can and will be saved. But in order to have a Sunday school that will make its greatest impact, in order to have a Sunday school that will have its greatest impact in affecting the lives of people, two things must happen. Two things regarding our attitude towards Sunday school, I submit to you, has to happen. In your outline, first of all, notice the first thing is we must be expectant. We must be expectant. This is no doubt the most important thing regarding our attitude towards Sunday school. Sunday school is kingdom work. Sunday school is kingdom business. So let's expect the Lord God of the universe to do great things, to do big things, to do amazing things in our Sunday school ministry. I heard a story about a woman who resided or lived in a nursing home. She was given a party to celebrate her 100th birthday. Her pastor came to the party to offer his congratulations. Afterward, the pastor said this about the party. Her mind was very much alert. When I arrived, she was completely caught up in the excitement of the party. A reporter had come to interview the 100-year-old woman, and when the reporter asked her, "Do you have any children?" without hesitation, she replied, "Not yet." She's expecting a miracle, I think. Amen. That should be our attitude towards Sunday school. We serve a big God. We serve a God who is the Lord God of the universe, an all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, ever-present, sovereign God. He wants to do big things in your life, in the life of this church. He wants to do big things in our Sunday school ministry. If somebody were to ask us, is Pleasant Valley South leading the state as the fastest growing Sunday school? Our attitude and our answer should be, not yet. Is Pleasant Valley South growing and leading the state in the increase of enrollment in Sunday school? Not yet. Has Pleasant Valley South reached 1,000 people in attendance in their Sunday school? Not yet. Expect God to do big things in our Sunday school ministry. Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me and I will hear you and answer you and show you great mighty things which you do not know. Second thing that needs to happen, if we're going to make our greatest impact in Sunday school strategy, not only do we need to be expectant, but we also need to be intentional. Yes, we expect God to do big things, but we need to do our part. All of us serving together, united, and engaged and involved in Sunday school ministry. So we see, first of all, we see that Sunday school is about people. Number two, notice that Sunday school is about priorities. Sunday school is about priorities. Look at verse 42 with me. Notice what it says. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. So you see, Peter preached this message after the Holy Spirit came down and dwelt them. He preached this sermon. It says there 3,000 souls were saved. And now it says, notice their priorities. Notice their dedication to these priorities. But it's not just in the book of Acts. We notice throughout the New Testament, we see these things that are here. We see these Bible-based mandates for the church. God gives us specific instructions on mandates, on things that we're to be doing in the church. And we see that evident in the New Testament church. And it's things that we're to accomplish in the modern day church. But here's a great thing. All five of these things can be accomplished in Sunday school. All of these things can be done in Sunday school on an ongoing, continuing basis. And I want to go through these five things. The five priorities of Sunday school. These are given in alphabetical order. I want to go through them quickly for the sake of time. But first of all, notice in Sunday school, our priority number one should be discipleship. Discipleship. A disciple is a student or a learner. And in Sunday school, the Bible is taught. There's an opportunity for spiritual growth. There's an opportunity to learn about the Bible with other believers and grow spiritually and develop as Christians. This is the core of Sunday school. This is the basis of Sunday school, that believers coming together to learn the Word of God, hear God's Word taught. But that's not all. Not only is there an opportunity or the priority should be in Sunday school discipleship, it should also be evangelism or outreach. Imagine every class member inviting an unchurched person to their class. Now you may say, well, I would rather invite them to the Sunday morning worship service. But sometimes people are more receptive to an invitation to a smaller class than they are to the Sunday morning service. But let me give you a couple of statistics regarding Sunday school and reaching unchurched people. One out of every 262 people not in Sunday school will be saved, but statistics tell us that one out of every three unchurched person enrolled in Sunday school will be saved. So we see here in Sunday school, these first two priorities, we accomplish the Great Commission. In that what we're told by Jesus, commanded by Jesus to do, amen? Jesus gave us the Great Commission, and here in Sunday school, we're able to accomplish the Great Commission. But there's more. Not only do we have discipleship and evangelism in Sunday school, but also fellowship. People connect with each other in class. People grow in their relationships with each other. Also, people can get together for activities outside the classroom. Not only is there discipleship and fellowship and evangelism and fellowship, also ministry. Members of the class are able to minister to each other. When there's somebody in the class that has a need, the members can step up and minister to that person. And of course, the class can be engaged in doing ministry outside the class to people in the community. And lastly, the fifth priority is worship. in Sunday school. We study the Bible. We pray. We fellowship with other believers. All these are forms of worship. These are the five priorities of Sunday school. These are the things that we want to be focused on in our Sunday school classes on every level. But I want to point out something to you. Notice these priorities I gave you are all nouns. And if you remember your English class, nouns are what? A name of a person, place, or thing. We talk about these things in church. We put them in our budget. We use those terms on a routine basis. But for priorities of Sunday school, what if we change those nouns to verbs by adding ing? What is a verb? A verb shows what? Action. Thank you. A verb shows action or state of being. That is my heart's desire, is to see Sunday school be the church in action. Sunday school is the church mobilized, the church in action to impact the lives of people here in the church and reaching people outside the church. Haddon Robinson was a well-known pastor, seminary professor, and seminary president. He wrote several books. He had a radio ministry for many years. I read this little short story about Haddon Robinson. It says, Haddon Robinson points out that an old recipe for rabbit stew started out with this instruction. First, catch the rabbit. That's good, isn't it? Robinson said this, the writer knew how to put first things first. That's what we do when we establish priorities. We put the things that should be first in first place in their proper place. God calls us in His Word to do these five things. Let's make them a priority. Let's put them first things first in our Sunday school ministry. So we see here, not only is Sunday school about people, Sunday school is about priorities. And number three and lastly, Sunday school is about being proactive. Look at verse 44 through 46. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Go ahead and look at verse 47 as well. Praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We see here the early church was proactive, not reactive. The Bible teaches us that Christianity is a proactive religion. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, go. Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, in other words, as a result of his authority, Jesus said what? Go. Go. There is amazing potential in Sunday school. Let's join together, be united, and expect God to do big things. And all of us serving together, doing our part. Jesus says go, but Satan says no. Let's not let Satan distract us or discourage us or divide us. In the words of Lucy, here at Pleasant Valley South, and specifically in our Sunday school ministry, let's join together and form a powerful weapon that for Satan is a terrible thing to behold. And I say to you, let's punch him in the nose. Am I right? Satan is a defeated foe. But it's up to you and I as believers to join together, to unite, have the same focus to claim that victory. Listen. I came in about six months ago, brought on to be your minister of education. And I'm so thankful to be here. I love every one of you, and I'm glad to be a part of this church. I'm excited about the opportunity and the potential we have in our church overall, and specifically in our Sunday school. And I don't mean to imply that Sunday school is better than any other ministry. What Sunday school does is make other ministries better. When you grow your youth Sunday school class, that means you have more youth in your youth program. When you grow your children's Sunday school classes, that means you have more children in your children's program. When you have more people in Sunday school, that means there's more people here for worship. When you have more people in Sunday school, that means you have more people here as an opportunity to be in the choir. You see, Sunday school is a funnel that enhances all the other ministries. Let's become united. Let's join together to make our Sunday school the best it can be. We can start today by joining together in prayer during our time of invitation. I want to ask that we, all those that will, to come and pray specifically for our Sunday school in just a moment when we have our invitation. Maybe you'd like to come pray for your class. Maybe you'd like to come, maybe your teacher is here, I know there are many teachers over in the contemporary service. Maybe you'd like to come lift up your teacher in prayer. Maybe there's people in your class that are hurting, that going through a difficult time. You'd like to pray for them. Pray about being a leader in your class. Maybe you're here today and you're not attending Sunday school or haven't attended a Sunday school class in a long time. I wouldn't dare preach a sermon to try to shame you into Sunday school. Or maybe a little bit. But you saw in that video we viewed a few moments ago at the beginning of the service. They did a great job in that video, and you noticed that the guys that put the video together put a list of all the classes, our adult classes. There's a class for everybody. And we got great teachers. I do want to encourage you to become involved and engaged in Sunday school. As we have a time of invitation, I'm going to ask children's teachers, youth teachers, adult teachers, here and in the other service to come and pray for our Sunday school. Let's pray together.